Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Chodesh Tammuz Shir with the Boker Raton Synagogue Online Midrashah. I thank Rabbi Shabtai very much for inviting me back to give this Chodesh Tammuz Shir this evening. So here we are. It is a mere few days away from the beginning of the period known as Bein HaMitzarim, the 3 weeks. The Shabbos actually is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz itself. Of course, it becomes a Nidcha, and we will fast Be'ezrat Hashem on Sunday. Well, not Be'ezrat Hashem. I don't know if I should say that. Mashiach doesn't come, which is probably what is Be'ezrat Hashem, and not Ratzon Hashem, then we will fast on Sunday for the fast of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So what I want to do is begin in the Mishnah with you, and why do we fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and what were the calamities that befell our people on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So I'm going to screen share the source sheet right here. Okay, so could you see, for those that I could see, that it says Mishnah Tainis on the top of my screen. Okay, so we are in the Mishnah in Maseches Tainis, like you could see here, Perek Dalet Mishnah Vav. So the Mishnah famously tells us, Chamisha Dvarim Eruas Abaseni B'Shivas HaBatamiz V'Chamisha V'Tisha Abba Av. There were five disasters that befell our forefathers on Shivas HaBatamiz, and five different ones that befell our forefathers' disasters on Tisha B'Av. B'Shivas HaBatamiz. So the most famous reason for that we fast on Shivas HaBatamiz is because the enemies breached the old city walls. The enemies breached the city walls of ancient Jerusalem. But there were actually other calamities on Shivas HaBatamiz that the Mishnah records for which we fast. So the Mishnah tells us, B'Shivas HaBatamiz Nishtabru Haluchos. The first calamity goes all the way back to the desert. And that is that on Shivas HaBatamiz, the luchos were broken, and we're going to talk about that. Uvatal hatamid, the korban tamid was nullified. There were no more lambs, daily lambs for the korban tamid. Vehuv kahair. And the city walls were breached, which is the most famous reason given for Korban Beis Hamikdash and Shivas HaBatamiz. V'saraf Apostamus as a Torah. Somebody named Apostamus burned the Torah. Who was he? We're going to talk about that as well. V'hem Yitzalem B'Heichal, and an Avodah Zarah was put up in the Heichal, in the sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash. So these are the five calamities that have befallen our forefathers on Shivas HaBatamiz. Again, Nishtabu Haluchos, that goes all the way back to the desert, to Chet HaEgel, the Perek Lamed Beis of Parsha Shmos. Uvato Hatami, there was no more Keves Achat Haseba Bokav as the Keves Hasheni Tesa Ben Harbai, because they ran out of the daily lamb for the Korban Tamid, which was brought morning and evening to open up and close the days of Voda in the Beis HaMikdash. Vuhuv Kahair, and the city walls were breached by the enemies. My Rets app keeps beeping. I don't have WhatsApp on my computer. Vuhuv Kahair, I'm not sure what that means. Please clarify what that means. Uvato Hatamir, I don't know, I took WhatsApp desktop off my computer actually a long time ago because I just found there's too much Bittlesman. Uvato Hatamir, the Korban Tamid was nullified. Vuhuv Kahair, and the city walls were breached. Vesarf Apostamus as a Torah. Apostamus burned the Sefer Torah. Vamit Salam Behechal. The two things that are bolded that you could see on the hand that I prepared on Ishtabru Luchos, Vesarf Apostamus as a Torah. Why? Because those both relate to the destruction, Kaviyachov, such a thing were possible of Torah. And this is what I want to talk about and focus on in today's Shivas Asar B'Tammuz Shir. The idea of Nishtabru HaLuchos, the Luchos were broken, and Apostamus burned a Sefer Torah. So we will close the handoff for right now. Oh, that's the Mishnah in Tainis. Okay, so those are the five things that befell our forefathers. Actually, I forgot to finish the Mishnah with you. Let's just finish the Mishnah. What happened on Tisha B'Av. So on Tisha B'Av, even though that's not the focus of today's shir, Nigzar Allah was saying, Shall you come to the earth? So that's first of all, was decreed upon our forefathers that they will not enter into the land. So note that the first calamity of Shivas HaBatamiz was Chet HaEgel, and the first calamity of Tisha B'Av was Chet HaMeraglim. Okay, so we're going all the way back to biblical times when our forefathers were in the desert. V'charv HaBais B'Rishon V'Shnia, and you also have Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon and Churban Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the main calamities for which Shivas Tisha B'Av is the most famous. Vanil Beitar was captured and fell, and also the city was plowed over. So therefore, the Mishnah says, when Av enters, we decrease joy, and this is the saddest time in the Jewish calendar year. You know, for the whole rest of the world, the Ummah Sa'olam Lahavdil, summer is the funnest time, the most carefree time, the most vacation time. For the Ummah Sa'olam, for that, they have that mind frame. But Knesset Israel has a different mind frame, and this is the time, Tammuz and Av, which is the saddest time period on the Jewish calendar year because of these calamities. So let us just look briefly, very quickly, at the first disaster of Shivas Asar Tammuz, and that was what I prepared over here. And second, the Chayt HaEgel. And that's like the Mishnah tells us, the first calamity was Nishtabru HaLuchos. So in what capacity were the Luchos broken? They were broken in the capacity of Moshe came down from Har Sinai and he sees the people doing Chayt HaEgel. So let us just look very briefly at the Perek. So here you have on my screen, Sefer Shemos, Perek Lamed Beis. Okay, so the people left Egypt, they got the Torah. Moshe says, I'm going up to learn Torah for 40 days and 40 nights. The people miscalculate. Vayar Am Kibosheish Moshe L'Radas Minahar. The people see that Moshe was delayed from coming down from the mountain. Boshesh, Chazal say, don't read it, Boshesh, delayed it, Boshesh. The sixth hour came and he didn't come down. And the people gather in great strength against Aaron, get up and make for us a God who will go before us. This man Moshe took us out from Egypt. We don't know what happened to him. And Aaron says, bring me your jewelry. And the people bring their jewelry from their ears. They bring it to Aaron. They bind it up in a scarf, throw it into the fire. Out comes an eagle, Masecha, molten calf. And they say, this is your God. So Israel took you out of Egypt, from Egypt. Aaron says, tomorrow we'll have a yanta for Hashem. They wake up in the morning and they do avodah zarah and they kill chur and they're doing gilad arayis and it's a whole disaster. And Hashem says to Moshe, go down because your nation that you took off from Egypt has been destructive. They have quickly strayed from the path that I commanded. They have made a molten calf. They bowed down to it. They brought zvachim. They brought korbanos. They said, these are your gods who took you out of Egypt. And Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, I've seen these people. They are stiknef. People, leave me alone. Let my wrath burn against them. I will annihilate them, consume them. I make you, Moshe, into a great nation. And now Moshe starts to daven. Why should you do this? What will the Egyptians say? Remember the patriarchs. And Hashem reconsidered over the bad that he was going to do. Pasuk Tezvav. And Moshe turned and he went down from the mountain. Ushnei luchos ha'edus b'yodo. The two tablets of testimony were in his hand. Luchos k'suvim mishnei avrei. Mizeh mizehim k'suvim. They were written on both sides. On this side they had the etzba elokim and the michtav elokim. And on that side, v'aluchos masa elokim heima. V'amichtav michtav elokim u'charus aluchos. And the luchos were the work of God. The writing was the engraving of the writing of God engraved upon the luchos. And Yoshua, the Misharis Moshe, his trusty servant, is waiting up base camp. And he says to Moshe, what do I hear? I hear such loud shouting in the camp. I think it's a war. Now Moshe has been told by God up in Shemayim what's going on. And Moshe says, oh no, that's not what you hear. This is not shouting of courage and it is not shouting of weakness. It is shouting of distress that I hear. And it was when he comes close to the camp, he sees the egel, he sees the dancing, vayichar of Moshe. Moshe's wrath flares. Vayichar of Moshe, he is very angry. Vayashlech miyadav eshaluchos. He throws from his hands the tablets. Vayishaber osam tachas ahar. Now this is what you saw in the Mishnah in Tainis, Perigdal Mishnah. Navav is the first disaster of Shivas Arbatamus, Nishtabu Haluchos. Here you see it, and Paraklama Beis, he comes down, and Yoshua says, I think there's a war, and Moshe says, no, no, there's no war, and when he sees the, it's a sound of distress that I hear, and when he sees the people dancing around, that he sees the molten calf, he takes these Luchos that were the work of God, and he smashes them. So this is the first calamity of Shivas Arbatamus. Now, what we have to understand is that Moshe broke what was already broken, okay? Moshe did not break something that wasn't broken. The luchos were a symbol of the covenant between Moshe, between God and the Bnei Yisrael. Vayikach ha-sefer bris, vayikra ba'elznei ha'am, vayomer kol asher dibar Hashem nasa v'nishma. At the time of the giving of the Torah, Moshe took the covenant, the book of the covenant, he read in the ears of the people, and they said, all that God has spoken, we will do, and we will listen. Shemos 24:7. So he took that sefer bris, he read it in their ears. Then he goes up, they break the covenant. They break the luchos metaphysically. He physically follows up by breaking of the luchos. So what Moshe was really breaking is what was already broken. And this is the first disaster of Shivas Arbatamus. The Torah, kaviyachal, if such a thing was possible, was broken. It was broken by the people. And they did Chayt HaEgel, and then Moshe represents this brokenness of this treachery against God. They do Avodah Zarah, they do Gilad Arayis, they do Shvichas Damim, and Moshe breaks the Luchos, symbolizing that they have broken the Torah. So part of what leads to our Galus and our Churban is Rachmana Litzlan, when we do not adhere to the principles, the ways of life, the morals, the mitzvos, the teachings of Torah. One of the other disasters on Shivas Arbatamus, like we saw on the Mishnah, is this, it's an enigma, really, and there are many different opinions, and it's very unclear to the commentators exactly who Apostamus was, and when did he break or burn the Sefer Torah. So the lashon of the Mishnah is, Vesarf Apostamus es HaTorah. Apostamus burned the Sefer Torah. So I have, when I was preparing this year, I did a little bit more research into who was this and when did it happen. It is extremely ambiguous and there is no consensus among the authorities, which I always knew in the first place that it's very ambiguous, but a little bit more detail. While most of the tragic events that happened on Shivas Rabbah Tammuz are well known in Jewish history, there seems to be little information as to the identity of this Apus Tammuz. When did he live? When did he burn the Sefer Torah? Furthermore, the disaster that happened right after, that's listed in the Mishnah, right after Vesaraf Apus Tammuz as a Torah, is V'ha'amid Salam Behechal. That's what the Mishnah says. So the kasha is, was it this Apus Tammuz who burned the Sefer Torah, who put the Tzalam, the Gachka, the Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash, is he one and the same person? Or is the Mishnah telling me two different calamities that happened at two different times? So there are many opinions as to who he was, when he lived, and how he came about burning a Sefer Torah. I am not telling you all of the opinions. The Talmud Bavli does not shed much light on this incident. Commenting on this, the Gemara simply says it's a tradition that Apus Tammuz burned the Torah. That's a Maseches Tainis Chavches. And those are the when the Gemara talks about the calamity also of Chedim Araglim there, and what they did every year, what they laid down in their graves to die in the desert. So the Gemara says that it is a tradition that Apus Tammuz burned the Sefer Torah without telling us any more information. According to some opinions, interestingly, like Rav Avadu Mibar Tanura, commentary to the Mishnah, Apus Tammuz was a Greek general or officer, which would place him at the time of the Chashmonai period in the second Beis HaMikdash. So if he was a Greek officer or general, then we are going to the time of the Chashmonaim, in the time of Bayesheni. That's the opinion of Rav Avadu Mibar Tanura. According to others, he was a Roman officer, and that is brought down by Kitov in the Sefer HaTodah. And then therefore, if he's Roman, it places him at the end of the time period of Bayesheni, because it's the Romans ultimately who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, even a bit after the destruction of the temple. So again, there is no consensus. It is not unanimous as to Apus Tammuz was. The Mishnah just says, Saraf Apus Tammuz as a Torah, then V'ha'amid Salam Behechal. The Gemara only comments and says, Maseches Tainis, said it's a tradition that Apus Tammuz burned the Sefer Torah. Who was he? When did he live? We're not sure. Some say, Rav Avadu Mibar Tanura, he's a Greek officer, which puts him in the time of the Chashmonaim in Bayesheni. Others say, no, he was a Roman, which puts him at the end of Bayesheni, even into the Churban, the years of Churban, when then the Romans controlled the land. Interestingly, I saw something very, very interesting brought down by Chabad, Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, one of the famous Asara Harugei Malchus, for whom we have a kinos on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan was one of the Asara Harugei Malchus brutally murdered by the Romans. One second, I just want to make sure everyone's muted, because, okay. Brutally murdered by the Romans. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, Yudches Amud Beis, tells us the story of Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, because that's where it tells us Yesh Kona Olama B'Sha Achas, and the executioner jumped into the flames with him. Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan guaranteed him a portion in Olam Haba. However, the Talmud, the Gemara tells us that during the Hadrianic persecutions, the Romans wrapped the Torah scroll, I'm sure you know about this, around Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, and they burned him alive by placing woolen tufts that were soaked with water to prolong the burning and to prolong his death. Now the executioner said, if I increase the flames, will I merit a portion in the world to come? Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan said, yes. The Roman executioner increased the flames and jumped into the flames, and a heavenly voice said, Yesh kona olama b'shah achas. But I thought that this was very interesting. Some hold that the Sefer Torah that Apus Tammuz burned, if he was a Roman, is in fact referring to the hariga, the public hariga of one of the Saru Gemachos, Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, when he was wrapped in a Sefer Torah and he was publicly burned and martyred, Al-Kiddush Hashem. Once again, that would corroborate with the fact that he is Roman. However, in Megillas Tainis, it lists the burning of Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan on the 27th of Sivan. So that would be a problem to say that it happened on Shivas Rabbah Tammuz. And I'm going to explain at the end a very beautiful answer. Why is there so much ambiguity about this Apus Tammuz who burned the Sefer Torah? And if we don't know who he is or when he lived, what does the Mishnah want us to learn from this? Some others identify Apus Tammuz with an account brought down by Josephus around the year 50. So that's 50 Common Era. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed either in 69 Common Era or 70 Common Era, according to two different opinions, by the Romans. So shortly before the destruction of Bayesheni, before Churban Bayesheni, a Roman Josephus records this in Antiquities of the Jews around the year 50. A Roman officer seized a Torah scroll and with abusive and mocking language burned it in public. So that is another opinion. He was Roman, and that is recorded by Josephus. Now, we get a lot. We know a lot of history, especially about the time of the Romans in the land and the Churban and its aftermath from Josephus. So this is another source. Talmud Yerushalmi cites two opinions. Where did this burning of the Sefer Torah take place? Where did Apostamus burn the Sefer Torah? All the Mishnah says is Saraf Apostamus. As a Torah, he burned the Torah. Where did he burn the Torah? So according to Talmud Yerushalmi, one opinion is it took place at the pass by Lod, Lydia, what we call today Lod, and according to others, at the pass of Tarlosa. So two different places in Eretz Yisrael. Again, even the place where the burning happened is up for discussion. Was it where and when Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan was murdered? Was it in Lod? What is it in Tarlosa? According to Talmud Yerushalmi. Another possible clue is how the Mishnah words the calamities. Saraf apostamus asatora, the ha'emid salam behechal. So there's a debate in a machlokas. Is apostamus the same one who was saraf asatora Torah? And was, or was it a different person who was ha'emid salam behechal? Is it one and the same person? Or is it two different people? Very, very interesting. I saw something so interesting, which is that some say, I didn't even include in the notes because there was so much information. And this is all the introduction to this year. I went to Rabbi Shai Shechter say after 45 minutes, that was the introduction. So I only have 45 minutes, so my introduction cannot take 45 minutes. I cut it out of the introduction, but according to some opinions, interestingly, the Sefer Torah that Apostamus burnt was the Sefer Torah that was concealed in the Aron Kodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah. Others reject this and say, no, the Aron was hidden. Some are under Har HaBayis, and no one had access to that. So you see how much ambiguity there is. However, according to one tradition, we continue with Saraf Apostamus Es HaTorah. So he is the one where he lived, we don't know. Who he was, we're not sure. What time period, we don't know. However, some say the next tragedy in the Mishnah, Vaha'amit Salam Bahechal, who placed an idol in the sanctuary, refers back to Apostamus. So, Saraf Apostamus Asatora, there, Ha'amit Salam Bahechal, it's one and the same person who burned the Sefer Torah and put an Avodah Zarah into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one opinion, others say no. Others say they are not connected, and rather the idol in the sanctuary was done according to another opinion in Talmud Yerushalmi, Ha'amid Salam Behecha was done during the first temple period by the wicked king, King Menashe. So you see, we're going all over. First temple period, second temple period, Romans, Greeks, Lod, what was the other place? Tarlosa, I mean, we're all over the map, pun intended, both in terms of chronology, history, and nationhood. As we noted, and this final insight from Chabad, I think, is so important. Commentaries grapple with the question of the significance of Apostamus burning the Torah scroll. I mean, it's placed onto the level of Nishtabru Haluchos. It's placed on the level of Chuv Kaha'ir. It's placed on the same degree of severity as Batal HaTamid. The Tamid is brought down as the most basic avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. It opens the morning karbanos and it closes the day's sacrifices. It's on the same level as the city walls were breached. Once the city walls were breached, that led to the destruction of the temple. It's placed on the same level in the Mishnah, counted as one of the calamities of Shivas Rav Tamas, Nishtabru Luchos, Moshe broke Luchos. But so many, Rachmana Litzlan, Sifrei Torah have been burned through history. Why are we specifically picking this Sefer Torah as the tragedy, Apostamus? And furthermore, we don't even know who he was, or exactly when he lived, or where he burned the Sefer Torah. Was it Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan in his death? Was it Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah? Was it in the time of the Second Temple and Apostamus himself put it Salam Behechal? Or was that King Menashe, the wicked king, and that was during Bais Rishon? Was he Greek in the time of the Chashmonaim? Was he Roman in the time of the Churban? Was he the guy that Josephus records from the year 50 Common Era? Why even record it if there's so much ambiguity? And all the Gemara says is there's a tradition that Apostamus burned the Sefer Torah. Many explain there isn't anything particular about this Sefer Torah more than any other Sefer Torah. So what makes this incident stand out? That, explain the commentaries, is the very point the Mishnah's making. Every single Torah scroll is invaluable to the Jewish people. For the Torah is our life and our destiny. As the Pasuk tells us, Ki heim chayenu v'orach yameinu, Ki hu chayach v'orach yamecha, says Moshe Rabbeinu, v'charta b'chayim l'man tichya. That's exactly the point. It's ambiguous. The Talmud could be any Sefer Torah in any era. It could be in Bayis Rishon. It could be in Bayis Sheni. It could be the Greeks. It could be the Romans. It could be the church in the land of England who had a massive Talmud burning. It could be the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, who made lampshades and shoe soles and desecrated Sefer Torah from Kristallnacht and beyond. Which Sefer Torah is it? It's any Sefer Torah in any time period of history that is either physically burned, Rachman al-Islam, or proverbially trampled upon by the Ummah's Olam. Because every single Sefer Torah scroll is invaluable to the Jewish people. For the Torah is our life and our destiny. Thus, the destruction of even one seemingly ordinary, anonymous Torah scroll by some person who we don't even know who he is on par with these tragic, cataclysmic national events. And I found that to be very powerful. And I only saw that, interestingly, when I was preparing for this year. I never saw that before. I always knew that it was ambiguous. I always know we don't know who Apostamus was or exactly what time period it happened in. I never saw this whole range of opinions, which I found to be interesting. And there's more that I didn't even bring you. And it just shows you how ambiguous it is. And it comes to teach us a very important lesson. It doesn't matter, so to speak, which time period it happened in, or who exactly did it, or who was Apostamus, or what nation he was from. The point is that somebody came and burned our Sefer Torah. And that is one of the greatest tragedies to befall Kal Yisrael. Now, my husband just told me this morning, our rabbi goes away for the summer. So my husband's Amud Yomi Shir is now remote with Rabbi Kiva Willig being away. So my husband said, I was downstairs. I happened to be downstairs when he finished Amud Yomi. And he said, we finished. I wasn't sure what he was referring to. They just finished Masechta Shabbos this morning. Baruch Hashem, Udo Hashem, Kitov, Kilam Chasto, Mazel Tov, Tov, Chabura. And they started it. It's Amud Yomi, not Daf Yomi. They started it in the spring of 2021, to use a secular calendar. And Shabbos is a very, very long Masechta. And they just finished it now. What gives us life? And what gives us continuity? And what gives us chiyus? And what is the life and the length of our days? It is delving into Torah. It is learning and living Torah. And perhaps the point I want to bring out in tonight's year, and that was all the introduction, and the point that I want to bring out in tonight's year is that if Churban and if destruction and Golos, exile, happened because the Sefer Torah was burned, Nishtabru Haluchos, Moshe only broke what was already broken. The people broke the covenant that had been made with God. It was already broken when he came down from the mountain. And if breaking the Torah is what leads to calamity, tragedy, disaster. Who as Apostamus? We're not even sure. But that's the point. The Sefer Torah was burned and broken. That it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to do our task to ensure that the Torah is upheld, learned, lived by, taught, and inspires us. And maybe if we can understand this aspect of Shivasar Batamas, because the first calamity that began this whole period of the 3 weeks was Nishtabru Aluchos. The people committed a terrible trespass, a terrible treason against Ribono Shel Olam. We broke the Torah. Moshe only threw down what was already broken, Kaviyachas, if Torah could be broken. The ladders flew back up to Shammai. Perhaps if we commit ourselves anew to being dedicated and committed and passionate and excited and faithful to Torah, then maybe we will be zocha to reverse the process of Churban to Binyan. And we'll be zocha to reverse the process of Golus to Gula. I'm going to go back to show you a beautiful Gemara. Here we go. A Masechus Menachos. So could you see I went back to Menachos? Yeah? Okay. Tzadi Tas Amad Beis. So the Gemara tells us such an interesting story. A very interesting maisa. Sha'al ben Dama ben Achoso shel Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama, the son of the sister of Rabbi Yishmael, asked Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama asked his uncle a question. Okay? Ben Dama is the son of the sister of Rabbi Yishmael, and he came to Rabbi Yishmael's uncle and he asked him a kasha. What's the kasha? Kigon ani shalamadati kol Torah kulo. He said to his uncle Rabbi Yishmael, what about a person like me? I learned the whole Torah. Mahu lomor chachmas yavanis. Am I allowed to go learn Greek wisdom? I learned the whole Torah. I know everything. So he thought. You can never know all of Torah. That's why, especially why our Gedolei Dor are constantly relearning to teach us that there's always something to learn. You can never learn all of Torah. But this Ben Dama thought he knew the whole Torah. So he said, "Kegon ani." Oh, I'm going to close the lighting. I see. 1 second. Okay. Kagon ani shalama shalamazati kol haTorah kulo mahu lo marchach masivadis. Can I go learn Greek wisdom? Kara alav hamikra hazel lo yamish sefer Torah zame picha v'gisa bayam v'layla. So his uncle Rabbi Shmuel answered him. He answered him by quoting a pasuk from Sefer Yoshua, which is here on my foot. Now the Gemara doesn't give the whole pasuk, but the Gemara quotes an excerpt. What's the entire pasuk? Hashem told Yoshua lo yamish sefer Torah hazame picha v'gisa bayam v'layla. This sefer Torah shall not leave your mouth; it shall not move from your mouth, and you shall contemplate it day and night. Leman tishmer la'aso, so you shall be on guard to do kachal kasuba, like everything that is written. Only if you cling to Torah, then you will be successful in your way. Then you will be discerning and wise. And this is the pasuk that Rabbi Shmuel quoted to his nephew Ben Dama. So I'm going to say the pasuk again without interrupting it, now that I told you the translation. Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha v'gisabo yamam v'layla l'man tishmer la'asos k'chola kasubo ki az tatzliach astarkecha v'az taskia, like from the word seichel, discerning, wise. So Ben Dama says to his uncle, I learned the whole Torah, which is impossible. You can never learn the whole Torah. No matter how long you live, you can never learn the whole Torah. There are so many layers and so many secrets and so much drush and so much remes and so much Kabbalah and so many aspects of Torah. You could never learn the whole Torah, which is exactly what Rabbi Shmuel is going to answer his nephew. I'm going to go learn Greek wisdom. His uncle told him, remember the pasuk that said, the Sefer Torah shall not move from your mouth, and you shall contemplate it day and night. So Rabbi Shmuel said, no problem. You want to learn Chachma Yivanis? Say ubedok shah she'enu lo min hayam v'lo min halayla v'lemod bo Chachma Yivanis. So his uncle said to him, no problem. Go find a time that's not day and it's not night, and then you could go learn Chachma Yivanis. So Rashi and the Gemara says, say ubedok, go find a time. Davar shelo yeh ba'olam. It's impossible. There is no time that's not day and it's not night. It's either day or it's night. And when do we have a command to learn Torah? V'gisabo yamam v'layla. You have to contemplate, learn, and speak about Torah yamam v'layla. If you could find a time, he said to Ben Dama, that's not night and it's not day, then you could go learn Chachma Yivanis. Says Rashi, Davar shelo yeh ba'olam. There's no such thing as it's not night and it's not day. There's no such thing in the world. So we see that, yes, today we are, and also in the times of Chazal, and we need to make a parnasa. And sometimes it is necessary to go learn Chachmas Yevanis, or the equivalent in today's society. And we, Baruch Hashem, have kosher ways to do so, and we, Baruch Hashem, have appropriate ways to do so. And even when a person goes to learn Chachmas Yevanis, it has to be with the mind frame that everything I do has to be through the lens of Torah. Everything that I do has to be guided by Torah. And I remember reading, there was a beautiful tribute to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, Mishpacha, like a year ago, Pesach. And before he went to become a doctor, before he went to medical school, I believe it was the stipler. He corresponded with the stipler, Zatzal, and he asked the stipler if he's allowed to go to medical school. He expected a no. He got a yes, but he had certain requirements that he always had to do, even when he was in medical school. One, on Shabbos, he was never allowed to learn secular subjects or secular reading. Another was he always had to daven with a minyan. Another one, he always had to be kovei itim the Torah. So there are ways to ensure that even when we are involved with the world, we can never throw off, chas v'sham, the Chachma of Torah. The Chachma of Torah must come with us wherever we are and whenever we are. And I want to share with you an unbelievably powerful Midrash as quoted by the Beis Halevi. Rabbi Yashua Ber Soloveitchik Mibrisk, Zeichet Salavik Kaddish Levracha. He brings it down in the Beis Halevi Allah Torah to Parshas Vayigash. Okay? Parshas Vayigash is when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. And Yosef gives his brothers Tochacha. Excuse me. And the Beis Halevi is a very famous and very beautiful piece there, and he compares it to the Tochacha that we will face on the Yom HaDin when we go up to Shemayim. The brothers couldn't even answer Yosef; they were so astonished. What will we say on the day of judgment when we go up to Shemayim after 120? Sometimes I think about it, and it's really scary. If you really think about going up to Shemayim and being put in front of the Beis Din Shambhala, it is a very scary thought. Because when they play back my life with the contradictions and the averos and the failings and the midos raos, what are we going to say? I want to show you this. I want to learn with you this piece by the Beis Halevi. Where is that? Here we go. You see it says Beis Halevi, Parshas Vayigash. Okay. So in the second column here on the left side, you see I have a little parenthesis, a bracket. Okay. Beis HaLevi is talking about how we live lives of contradictions. We preach one thing and practice another thing. We say X, we do Y. Inconsistencies. And he says that's going to be the greatest tochacha. When we get up to Shamayim, they're going to show us how we spoke, and they're going to show us what we did. So you could give a whole shiur not speaking Lashon Hara, and it could be a very nice, wonderful shiur, and you could uplift everybody in the shiur, and then you hang up from the shiur, the Zoom, and then you go speak Lashon Hara. That's what they're going to show you in Shemayim. On one screen, you're going to see Michoritz giving a shiur, don't talk Lashon Hara. On another screen, you're going to see Chas V'Shalom, I try very hard not to, God forbid, Michoritz speaking Lashon Hara. And that's the tochacha. They're not even going to say anything in Shemayim. It's going to be the most embarrassing thing in our whole lives. They're going to see us telling our children, go daven, but we didn't daven. They're going to see us telling our children, make a bracha, bench nicely, while we're checking our phone when we're benching. They're not even going to say anything in Shemayim. That's going to be the most horrible tochacha. That's going to be Gehenim. Man nomar man daber. So this too applies to Torah learning. Now, obviously, I don't mean anyone in this year because you're taking the time to come learn Torah. But you should know, before we go into the Beis HaLevi, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, that we are going to be asked a series of questions in the Olama MS. Guess what? It's not what kind of kippah you wore. No, the Gemara does not say that. What kind of kippah was on your head? Was it strugah? Was it silk? Was it velvet? Was it gray? They're not going to say, did you wear a shetel or a tichel or a baseball cap or a beret? And what was there? What kind? They're not going to say any of those things. Shocking. Could you imagine? They're not going to say how fancy were the centerpieces at the wedding. Guess what? They don't care in Shemayim. They don't care in Shemayim. One of the questions we will be asked in the Olam HaEmes is Kavata Yitim LaTorah. There are not even so many questions. There's only six. Go look it up. Shabbos 31a. Kavata Yitim LaTorah. Did you set aside time to learn Torah? The whole calamity of Shivasar Batamas, the whole springboard for the calamity of Shivasar Batamas was Nishtabru Luchos. But Moshe wasn't breaking the Torah, God forbid. Moshe wanted to give us the Torah. He broke what we broke. Saraf Apostamas is the Torah. Who was he? When did he live? Was he Greek? Was he Roman? By his region, by Yesheni? Do we go with Josephus? Do we go with the Ravadi by Bartanura? We don't know who he was. That's exactly the point. Anytime the Sefer Torah is destroyed, Kaviyachal, it's a calamity. It's bad enough if the Ummah Olam destroy our Sefer Torah. We have to make sure to work against them, to uphold Torah, to cling to Torah. Can I go learn Chachmas Yevanis? Said Ben Dama to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael said, I don't know. Do you know what time in 24 hours? It's not day and not night. Then you could go learn Chachmas Yevanis. How are we going to overturn the first calamity of the whole Bein HaMitzarim? Was that we shattered the Torah. Not Moshe shattered the Torah. Nishtabru Haluchos. The Mishnah does not say Moshe Shiber Esotorah. Note, the Mishnah says Nishtabru Haluchos. Who broke the Luchos? Klai Yisrael broke the Luchos. Moshe broke what was already broken. So how do we reverse the process? By committing ourselves to Torah. Who was Apostamus? That's exactly the point. What a Gevaldig Chiddush. It doesn't matter who he was exactly. Torah is not committed to geography. Torah is not a history book. Torah is not committed to location. Torah spans the generations. And if you're not committed to Torah, you're not living a life. And if we want to reverse the process, perhaps the key is undoing the first calamity of Shivasar Batamas. We broke the Torah. We must fix the Torah. We must fix ourselves to commit ourselves to Torah. You think they care what kind of car I drove in Shemayim? You think they care how fancy my simcha was in Shemayim? You think they care what kind of kippah I wore on my head in Shemayim? God cares. Kavata itim b'Torah. That they care. Someone came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. It's brought down in the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky Alal Hashem. So they came to Rav Chaim towards the end of the biography. And they said, I would like to write a check to whatever tzedakah the Rav wants. Le'ilui nishmas the Rabbitin. So Rav Chaim said, what's your Mishnah's learning schedule? So the man said he doesn't have so much time. He'd like to write a check. So Rav Chaim said, you want to do something. Le'zecha nishmas the Rabbitin. You should take upon yourselves to learn X Mishnah's a day. So the man said, I don't really have time. I'd like to write a check. So Rav Chaim said, I heard you the first time. If you want to do something for the Rabbitin's Aliyah Neshama, learn more Torah. So the Beis HaLevi says, V'chein hu b'inyani limud Torah. I'm here on the second column where you see the parentheses in my own handwriting. V'chein hu b'inyani limud Torah. So it is with Torah learning. Asher harbe me'anashim potrim atzo michi of halimud. Many people say, I'm potter from learning Torah. I'm exempt. I'm not obligated to learn. I'm potter. I don't have to learn Torah. Yeah, and kisicho einu mukshar lahasig libur Torah. You know why I don't have to learn Torah? You know why I'm potter? Because I'm not so smart. My seichel is not so in line with the ability to grasp Torah. Yan kihu b'tava gasa seichel. God just didn't make me so smart. I have a low IQ. By tava, by nature, I'm not smart enough to understand Torah. So one person says he's not smart enough to understand the Magid Shir, and the other person says he's too busy, and the third person says she doesn't have time, and this one says she's too busy being fancy. So no one has time to learn Torah. One's not smart. One has no time, one's too busy with business, and one's too busy going out to lunch and going to the beach the whole summer, so when should I learn Torah? Aval kushin esponim rav ha-secha nimtzu bo ba'askav b'inyani olam haza. Wow. But then you look at this guy who says, you, well, I can't go to Shir. You think I could understand the Magid Shir? I don't know Hebrew. I can't go to the Shir. But when you look at him, you see he talk has a lot of seichel in order to do his parnasa. For matters of this world, all of a sudden he has a lot of seichel. Liramos, Vilasig Parnasaso, to be wise and discerning, to be smart and business smart, he has a lot of Seicha. But to learn Torah, you think I have that? Time. To go to the beach, I have time. But to go to Ashir, you think I have time? Like we learn in Tana Devei Eliyahu, Zuta Perikadal, Vizel Shonam, this is what the Medrash tells us over there. Pam achas ha'isi mehalech. So Eliyahu Navi says, one time I was going, mimakom mimakom, I'm going from place to place. Umatzani echad shalo haya bolo mikra velo mishnah. I come across this guy, and he doesn't know anything. He doesn't have mikra, Torah shebichtav. Doesn't know chumash. He never heard about the parasha. He can't read a Rashi. Doesn't know the basic stories in Torah shebichtav. Velo mishnah, he doesn't have Torah shebalpeh either. Mikra represents chumash, Torah shebichtav. Mishnah represents Torah shebalpeh. So I come across this guy, and he doesn't have anything. No Torah shebichtav, no Torah shebalpeh, nothing. Vahaya miklo tseis kenegdi. He was making a mockery. He was a late son. But I'm married to you though, and I said to him, he's making fun of me. And Eliyahu Navi says to him, Bini, ma ata meishiv l'avicha shebashamayim liyamadin. What are you going to say when you get up to heaven? And one of those six questions is, did you set aside time for learning Torah? Amar li Rabbi yeshi dvarim shani meishiv. Don't worry, I have plenty of good answers. Bina v'das lo nasnu li bina shamayim. I'm going to tell God, you wanted me to learn Torah? That's fine, but you didn't give me discernment and you didn't give me wisdom from heaven. Sha'akra, Ba'eshner, you think I could understand Chumash? You think I could understand Tanakh? You think I could understand Gemara and Mishnah? You didn't give me the brains, God. Amarti lo mamalachtecha. So Eliyahu Navi says to him, so Taka, tell me what's your work. Amarti li tzayed. I'm a trapper, I'm a hunter. Amarti, so I said to him, that's so interesting. To be a trapper, a hunter, you probably have to be very, very smart. Tzayir, I'm a hunter. Amarti, umalahavi pishtan vilarog mitsudos vilahashlich liyam nasnudachadas. That's so interesting. You're a fisherman. So to weave your nets and to work with flax and to make the net and to send them into the sea, for that you're smart enough. They live divrei Torah shekasubo. But when it comes to the words of Torah, that it says, ki korov elecha davar ma'od, b'ficho b'vavcha la'asoso. The words of Torah are so close to you. Lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'ivar la'yam hi, b'ficho b'vavcha la'asoso. Torah is so close to you. It's so accessible. Today, mamish, I mean today, 5782, there's literally no excuse. How many apps do we have? I have a weekly shiur on the All Parsha. 10 minutes. I have a weekly 10-minute shiur. You don't want to listen to me? Listen to someone else. I don't care. How? What kind of excuse do you have to say, I don't have time? How could you say you don't have time? We're so busy with everything the whole week. You don't have an hour once a week to sit down and learn Torah. What was the first calamity of Shibas Rabbi Thomas? Nishtabu Aluchos. And it doesn't say Moshe broke the Luchos. That's not what the Mishnah says. It says the luchos were broken. The people broke the luchos. The people annulled the covenant. The people were poter themselves from learning. Sarav HaPustamis is the Torah. Who was he? We don't know. It doesn't matter. That's the point. The point is that we don't know. He's mystery man. Roman, Greek, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan's Torah, Hermosha Rabbeinu's Torah. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Any time. The Sefer Torah is figuratively, or Rachman al-San literally burned. It's a disaster. For that alone, it's worth fasting. How could a person not make time for Torah? What excuse do we have today? We're going to go up to Shemayim. I'm going to say, oh, I have so many excuses, God. I was so busy. I had carpool. I had dinner. I had laundry. I had meetings. I had to let the repairman in. It's all true. But how is it possible that for everything else in life you have time? But for me, God, you don't have time. I know the next speaker is here. So the next speaker, Rabbi Shabtai had me wait a few minutes. So I started 5 minutes late. So I need a couple of more minutes, please. Okay? I start at 7:05. And I know you're here and I know you're waiting. Thank you. So Taka, you're smart enough to make your parnasa, but you can't go to a chumashir? I want to write a check, says Rav Chaim, I heard you the first time. You want to do something, learn. For a Torah that's so close to you, it's in your mouth and in your heart to do, you don't have any wisdom? No wisdom, nothing? Can't understand the Torah, my good shir in the world? Fine, I understand. I won't be able to understand it either, but something? The guy takes this musr and he starts crying. Amarti though, and Eliyahu Hanavi says, Al Yerelecha, Shekol Bar Olam Hemi Shivin Shuvazu. Eliyahu Hanavi says, you're not alone. Everyone in the world gives the same excuse. Al Oso Inyan, for this matter, Shem Oskimbo. Ava Ma'asehem Mochichin Aleim. Whoo! Every Bar Olam tries to give the same excuse. I'm too busy for you, God. I'm too busy for Torah. I'm not smart enough for Torah. Aval ma'aseihem mochichin aleihem. Ad kan l'shono. God's not even going to even need to say anything back. The deeds, our deeds, will prove to the Ribbono Shel Olam who we are and what we really are. Shem's not going to say anything. He's going to show us two screens. One screen, you're so busy making parnasa. You're so busy with your whole life. You don't have 1 hour a week to learn Torah. You don't have 1 hour a week to connect to God. You don't have 10 minutes a day. What was the first calamity of Shivasar Batamas we saw in the Mishnah? Nishtabru Aluchos. Who broke the Luchos? Klal Yisrael broke the Luchos. Moshe just threw them down. What was one of the other calamities? The fourth, Saraf Apostamas is a Torah. Who was he? We don't know exactly. But that's the point. We don't need to know who he was. Anytime the Sefer Torah is destroyed, it is a major calamity and tragedy for Klal Yisrael. So tonight I'm proposing and I'm taking a different spin to the Shivasar Batamas Shir that I ever prepared or took before. You know, we always talk about the Ahavas Chinam, and I'm probably going to be talking about that at some point, the Ahavas Chinam and the rebuilding and Bein Adam Chaveiro and Yuma Tas Amar Beis, which I talk about all the time. A different spin. God gave us the Torah. It is the life and the length of our days. And if it takes a Amud Yomi Chabura, a year and a half, Hodel Hashem Kitov Kilam Chazot, to finish Masach HaShabbos, what a gewaldic accomplishment. What a tremendous limur. Hashem wants to see when you're so busy with your whole world, are you also busy with me? And maybe when we're busy with God and His Torah, if you can find a time that's not day and not night, then you could go there in Chachmas Yavanis. And perhaps we can reverse the process of Nishtabru Haluchos and Saraf Apostamas as a Torah. And we can turn it around. And we go from Galus to Geula, from Afela Liora, from Churban to Binyan. And we show Hashem we're committed, we want, we love His Torah. Kihu Chayecha V'Orach Yamecha. So I thank everybody so very much for learning with me. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to present this year. I am going to pass the...